Okay, let's time. What time it is? Right. And then you may get to a point where you find that the differences are rejected. You don't want them. At first you might be thinking there's something wrong with me and the British are all right. And after a while you might start feeling quite frustrated and hostile to the new culture. So remember, at the beginning you found those values a bit interesting, and then they start to intrude, and then you start thinking, actually, there's nothing wrong with me, it's the British, they are the ones. There's something wrong with them. So you start thinking, the way that they behave, all this thank you and their pleases and everything, you think this is absolute rubbish. They know nothing about life. We know best. Our country is better. Our values are better. And let's face it, you know, we do think our country is better. I mean, I do. And I think, but that's very important to be aware, that it is a stage that people go through. And of course, the good thing is that after a while, you accept the differences and similarities, you become more relaxed and confident, you are able to cope with the new situations, and you learn to build bridges. You start thinking, okay, there are certain things I will never be able to accept in this country, but maybe if I'm going to be living here, I could start to make an effort. So, for example, if you are a student who doesn't drink, okay, you don't drink and you don't think that going to the bar is a good idea, to start with you might say, okay, I have no way am I not going to be anywhere near alcohol. And then after a while you think, okay, if the only way I'm going to make friends, because friendship is something that you have talked about there before, you've talked about communication in English, if you find that some people think that maybe the only way that I'm going to make friends with somebody is you've met somebody in your lecture, you really like them very much, they invite you out, and you think, I really want to get to know this friend, but maybe I will go to the bar with them, but maybe I will not drink. So the compromise might be, you do something which at first you wouldn't think about doing, but gradually as you become more relaxed and confident, you might think, okay, I can go along with that. Of course, that's very much about obviously observing and looking at your own values and that they don't clash too much. Now, somebody said they will be very happy because it will be time to go home on that graduation day, okay? You're saying you'll be very happy you have to go home. Now, what this research shows us is that when people have been in a different culture, and they have been here for a while, and they have adapted and everything, and they go back home, what do you notice happens? Pardon?
Another culture shock.
Okay. Now, that's the one that a lot of people are not aware of, because you think that, fantastic, it's time to go home, 2 years and 3 years down the road, now it's fine. And then you realize that when you get home, there is another culture shock. It's a kind of a reverse culture shock. Because if you think about it logically, if you are in this country and you have adapted, it means you have changed. Okay? It means you have changed. And when you go home, people expect to be exactly the same. Somebody also mentioned about being independent. Okay. Now, in my country, to be independent as a woman is a bad thing. Okay? Independence is a dirty word in my country. In this country, we have to be independent to survive. Independent learning, some of the values of the culture. So the education system actually reflects the broader society. In the broader society, we love independence. Okay, we like people to take the initiative. We like them to be independent, to do their own thing. And in the education system, you also see the same thing. Okay. Now let's take independence. So you've been independent in this country. You've been able to take the bus, go to the shops, do your own thing, go out with your friends, and then you go home, and then you go out, and your mother says, "What time are you coming home?" And you say, "Why do I have to tell you what time I have to come home? I have been in England for 3 years. I have done my own thing. I've gone out when I want to. Why do I have to tell you what time I'm going to come home?" So you may find there's a bit of a clash even with your own family, because they might perceive the change in you as not being something that they want or they like. So be aware of that. Okay, now, just looking at some of the main areas of cultural differences, I have already talked about the please and the thank you. And some of these are going to be very important because they're going to apply to your study. Okay? Just because you're studying, you have to be very important that you understand some of the cultural values. British ideas of politeness is that whenever you want to ask for something, you also always say please. Never say give me something. Okay. Now, in my own language, if I say to somebody give me something without the word please, the tone of voice will suggest that I'm making a request. So I say give me a pen, give me a pen. I wouldn't say please give me a pen. I'll say give me a pen. So the tone of voice will suggest that I'm making a request. But in English, if you go to the shop, you say give me a coffee, or show me where the sugar is, or show me where is the book on grammar. If you go to the lab and you say show me where the book is, people will look at you. They may not say anything to you, but you will find there has been a barrier between you and them. There will be a communication breakdown because you haven't said the word please. Because people will think that you are making a command. By saying, show me where this book is, which may be exactly what you're saying in your own language, in English, in Britain, this is going to be very, very rude. Okay, so you must always say please. Thank you is the same thing. Whatever anybody give you, whatever they've done for you, whether it's small or big, you always have to say thank you. Because they are the first two words we teach our children when they're growing up. You know, when they're very small, the first words we see, this child says, give me a drink. We would say, what is the magic word? Please. Magic word is please. So the child is being taught from very, very young age to say please, because for us in this culture it's very important. So if you're going to see your lecturer, you're going to see your tutor for some help, you'll be using these words. And sorry is another one. Okay, we are very, very fond of this word sorry, even if you're not feeling sorry at all. Doesn't matter. So if you've made a mistake, or you don't know, you're not very sure, you would say, excuse me, or I'm sorry to bother you, will you let me know or show me, whatever. Okay, so please, thank you, and sorry are the three words that are the kind of a pass to success in this country. Okay.